I would like to look at one book in the Bible today, the whole book. Who knows which one is the shortest book in the Bible? Shortest book. Yeah, actually, I don't know. Sorry. I'm not sure. It is a few very short books. Originally, I thought I know, but when Michelle said Third John, I haven't thought about Third John. So maybe I'm wrong. The book I'm thinking about is Jude. The reason why I would like to look at a book, because recently some young people, they suggest me, you should speak more on the Bible rather than topics. Because Bible is God's word, and it's so precious, and it's God's inspired word. So that's why I try to learn to preach on one book, so I choose a very short book. But I have a purpose for that, to choose this book. I would like to encourage you, each one of you, can bring your own Bible in meeting, so that you can refer to it during meetings with other brothers and sisters and write notes on it if needed. How about we, each one of us, turn to Jude. Do you know where Jude is? In the New Testament? In the second last of New Testament. Once you turn it there, how about we pray first? Lord, this morning we come to you with open hands because we know that we are empty, but you are abundant. Lord, we ask that you use your own word, precious word, inspired word, to speak to us. So help us, Lord, to open our hearts and inner ears to hear you, hear your words. Lord, you know we can't know you unless you reveal yourself and your words to us. This morning we ask the Holy Spirit to bring us to you, to your words. You help the speaker and listeners. You anoint the mouth and ears of all of us so that we are benefited. We can be changed by your words for your glory, for your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I would like to talk and share with you the whole book, if time allowed, of Jude. How about we look at verse 1, Jude verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. The version I'm using in this sharing is the ESV. So I would like to ask the AV brothers to put the ESV on the screen so that we can look at that. If your version is the New King James Version or other version, that's fine. But I just use ESV to share. Yeah, verse 1. We look at verse 1 first. Okay. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Jude, according to the pronunciation of his name in both Hebrew and Greek, he is called Judas as well. In verse 1, he said he's the brother of James. James is the author of the book, Letter of James. Judah is the author of this book, Jude. They are brothers. In Matthew 13, long before Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, his hometown people once said about him, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers, James, and Joseph and Simon and Judas. So from this we know that Jesus has four earthly brothers, including James and Judas. Though at that time none of them believed in him. Later James became a believer and became a Jerusalem church leader. And Judas became a believer, became God's servant to proclaim his gospel. But in this letter, when Jude introduced himself, he didn't say that he's Jesus' brother. Why? Rather, he said he's a servant of Jesus. In Greek, it is not only servant, but bond servant, a slave. Jude identified himself as a bond servant of Jesus, but not brother of Jesus. He is willing to be a bond servant of Jesus to his brother Jesus. This shows that how blameless Jesus is at home, even before his family. Because even one single fault Jesus commit can deny his deity and holiness. Because of that single fault, if he has, he can no longer claim himself to be God. And Jude and we can't worship him as God. We know that you and I have weaknesses and shortcomings. Although some shortcomings and weaknesses, my weaknesses and shortcomings you don't know, and yours I don't know. But some of them your family knows. Do you want to be a bond servant to your brother? Who wants to be a bond servant to your brother? You will say, no way. I say no way as well. Because you and I know our brother. He is not worthy to be your master. It's too dangerous to be his bond servant. But Jesus is different. He is worthy to be our master because he laid down his life for saving and loving us. Being his bond servant belongs to him, and being used by him is a great blessing and privilege because he is such a good and loving master. The same verse 1, later part. To those who are called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. It talks about the recipients of the letter. Quite probably the recipients are of Jewish background, because the example used in this book assume them being familiar with the Old Testament and other important Jewish writings at that time. But most importantly, the recipients are those who are called, beloved in God and the Father, in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Are you called, beloved in God, and kept for Jesus Christ? I wish each one of you are. If so, this letter is for you. Let us first look at the purpose of the letter, and from that, we try to survey its structure and content. Verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to a contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So this verse mentioned about the purpose of the book. Originally, Jude wanted to write about our common salvation. Common here does not mean usual, not special, but refers to shared, our shared salvation. The same salvation shared by them all. This is a precious salvation. That's why Jude wanted to write about it. However, when Jude started to write, he found there is an urgent need to exhort his fellow Christians to appeal to them to contend for the faith. The faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith revealed to God's church through its apostles and prophets. This is the truth composed in the faith written in the whole Bible. This is the objective truth of the gospel based on the Word of God. Contend for the faith. In original Greek, the word contend can be viewed as someone taking pain to strive, to keep and defend for something. Therefore, some translation not only saying contend, but also contend earnestly for the faith. Why Jude needed to appeal to contend for the faith? The reason is in verse 4. Let us read together. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God in sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. For these ungodly people crept in unnoticed. Jude used the whole session, verse 5 to verse 19, to describe and expose them in order to warn his fellow Christians and appeal to them to contend earnestly for the faith. In the first part of this session, which is verse 5 to verse 16, Jude mentioned a number of ungodly people in the Old Testament time perverting the grace of our God into sensuality and denying our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They are dangerous people. Not only because of their wrong teaching, but also their corrupted and deceitful hearts of perverting God's grace into sensuality and denying Jesus as Lord. These hearts affect their inner mentality and value system, and hence their outward talking, their teaching, their way of life, and their behaviors. This outward talking and way of life corrupt and defile people, including you and me, and many others, if we are not watchful and content for the faith. We don't have time to read through and read thoroughly on this session, but we can find that this ungodliness in the old days includes unbelief, includes not keeping their assigned position God gave to them. It includes sexual immorality, blasphemy, violence, greed, and immoral monetary gain. Rejecting authority, shepherd feeding only themselves, hypocrisy, grumbling, discontent, lustful, boastful, flattering for gaining, etc. and their subsequent severe divine judgment. Have you and I been contaminated or corrupted by old days ungodliness? Even today, somehow? If so, we need to repent. We need to go back and ask God for His forgiveness. Don't sin anymore, because sinning, one sin can open up more path to temptation and sin and undermine our resistance to sin. If you find that you are somehow corrupted or defiled by this ungodliness, by something in your environment, people around you, things you're exposed to, you need to be careful. Jude used these ungodly people and angels in the old days to expose the ungodly ones in the last days, which Jude and his fellow Christians were faced. This is mentioned in verse 17 to 19. We can read it together. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. After using these ungodly ones, both in the old days and in the last days, to warn his fellow Christians, Jude motivated them to contend for the faith. This is the negative warning part of the exhortation on contending for the faith. Actually, the whole book of Jude, the main purpose is to exhort Christians to contend for the faith. After the negative warning part, we now come to the positive encouragement part of the exhortation of contending for the faith. This is in verse 20 and 21. I would like to encourage each one of you, read it loud. We may not be used to read the Bible together in meetings, but read it loud. In order to read together, we have already read the ESV version on the screen. This is the key verses of the, can be regarded as the key verses in the book of Jude. Verse 20 and 21. How about we read it together? We read it together and pay attention to what it said. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Very precious verses. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. This is the positive encouragement of the exhortation on contending the faith. In verse 3, Jude asked the Christian to contend for the faith. And then he used verse 4 to verse 19 to explain why do we need to contend earnestly for the faith. Because those negative ungodliness, those warnings. We need to contend earnestly for the faith, the holistic truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And now we come to verse 20 to 21. In these two verses, the main verb in the New Testament Greek has only one main verb. The word is keep in verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. Therefore, contending for the faith against false prophets, against the ungodly and hypocrites, and their corrupting influence, is not by fighting against them physically with violence. Defending and keeping the faith is by keeping ourselves in the love of God. Are you keeping yourself in the love of God actively? How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? First of all, who can keep himself in the love of God? Only those who are beloved in God. Non-believer, they can't. They won't be able to keep themselves in the love of God. They're inadequate to do that. They don't have the life from God, the new life from God to do that. Who can keep himself in the love of God? Only those who are beloved in God. Jesus said at the start of verse 20, but you, beloved. Not only they are beloved of Jude, more importantly, they are beloved in God, as Jude mentioned in verse 1. The recipients of the letters are beloved in God. Do you know you are beloved of God? If you trust Jesus as a Savior and Lord, you have eternal life. Then you are God's child and you are beloved of God. I do hope that everyone sitting here are beloved of God, in God. For every beloved of God, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? In the last night, before Jesus was crucified, he said to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. I read it out to you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus said that for those who believe in him are the ones loved by him. For them, the way to abide in God's love, or in other words, keep themselves in God's love, is to keep his commandments. Although, even if you are a believer, you love the Lord loves you. Even if you don't love the Lord for some reason, in certain situations, the Lord still loves you wholeheartedly, with perfect love. But you can't. If you run away from God, if you are not keeping his commandments, you won't be able to remain in, abiding in his love. We need to keep God's commandments. We need to learn to obey his words. This saying, how Jesus said in John, is consistent with what Jude said in verse 20 and 21. How to keep yourselves in God's love? How to keep yourself in a close communion, fellowship, a loving, living relationship with God. How do we experience God's love? We enjoy God's love. And we learn to love God. Apart from the main verb in these two verses in Jude, there are three supporting verbs. They call it participles. The three supporting verbs is building yourselves up in your most holy faith, building. The second one is praying in the Holy Spirit. The third one is waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus, waiting for. So firstly, we would like to look at building yourself up in your most holy faith, the first one. What is the holy faith? We said previously that it is the holistic truth of the gospel based on the whole Bible, the holy word of God. In short, building yourself up in your most holy faith practically means building yourself up in God's word. Last month, I shared about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not sure whether you remember or not. Not only last month, but last year. I encourage everyone, set aside time each day to draw close to God through reading His Word. This is a practical example of building up yourselves in His Word. I'm not sure how many of you have been learning doing this in the last month, last few weeks. If you did that, you might have experienced the comfort and peace from God through His words when you are in the time of sadness or distress. If you have tried but you are discouraged and stop, don't give up. The reason why I speak on Jude today, I'd like to encourage you. Don't be discouraged. Continue to read God's words daily. A couple of weeks ago, I came across something. I was quite sad and not peaceful. I didn't know how to handle the situation and feared that I might be distressed, even stumbled by this. So next morning, I brought my heavy heart to God to read my daily Bible as scheduled. As I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, it said, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." That day, that time, to my heavy heart and worrying heart, God encouraged me and gave me peace through this verse saying, "He will establish me and guard me against the evil one." I was worried about the evil one will attack me or, you know, discourage me, but the Lord encouraged me. He can guard me. These words sustain me to go through that day and the situation. Or because you have your daily Bible reading, you experience the joy of obeying a prompting of the Holy Spirit through a verse you are reading, to encourage you to do something for God, for God's sake. And enjoy of the communicating with God through hearing His words, receiving His comfort, obeying His bidding, and the joy of knowing Him in obedience. I know of a sister She worries about her physical health. She worries about the illness caused immature death because her mom died early, died young due to illness. So this is the worry about that. But one day in her scheduled Bible reading, he read Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The context is, Paul said this to a group of brothers. He said, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." When her sister read this verse, this will comfort her not to worry about her health, but focusing on serving God. This is how we and our action and mentality change due to hearing and acting out God's word. Think about when is the last time your action or behavior has been changed because of obeying the Bible after reading or hearing it. Think about that. There is a sister. You know, when people get close, if you relate with a person at a distance, you feel very comfortable. But if you get closer, and you may get hurt easily. Because of emotion attached to this person, and you're feeling open to this person, get hurt. There's a sister, feel hurt by another sister. So there's some bitterness or some unhappiness, sadness in the heart. Can't resolve. One day, and also because the other party hurt you, of course you don't like her, right? Or those who quite like her, but because of that hurt, don't like her. Then one day the sister do her Bible reading. Matthew chapter 5, he said, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So the sister, read that. And she was reminded that God loves bad people. And she think of that person offend her, hurt her. Because of that verse, encourage her to call that person, care for her, buy gifts to her, do good things for her, and all the bitterness in the heart gone gradually. This is how we and our action and mentality change gradually due to hearing and acting out of God's words. So the question I asked previously, when is last time your action or behavior has been changed because of obeying the Bible after reading or hearing it. I don't expect us every day we have a new verse and change our action. Not necessary, because one verse can be there for use for a while, for you to exercise spiritually, exercise the verse for a while. But when is the last time you and I last time changed by God's word? Or we can't think of any action change due to obeying God's word, or we can't remember that had happened recently. Maybe it happened very long time ago, that's why we can't remember. One reason why we find reading the Bible boring might be that we don't expect ourselves to obey God's word as we read. The passage we read, we don't need necessarily 100% understand, but maybe we understand 20% of it. Are we reading with a heart expecting to apply God's words in our life? Are we living a life, a lifestyle, a life direction, actively learning to submit to God and His Word? We are so used to live a very, very self-centered life. That's how many people around us, they are living a very self-centered life, including non-believers, even including some believers. Are we defiled, corrupted by this ungodliness? Because we are so used to live a very self-centered life, that's why we feel God's word is not relevant to me. No impact on my action and behavior in real life. That can be a reason why we find daily Bible reading boring and not exciting and interesting. Are you actively and consciously building up yourselves in your most holy faith? Or are you so used to live a self-centered life and consciously or unconsciously continue to do so? One reason we don't hear God's word, we can read a lot, but we don't hear God's word with our inner heart, inner ear, because we are immune to God's word. That means we are spiritually hearing impaired or spiritually deaf. Last week, I heard someone saying, spiritual death leads to spiritual hypocrisy. Outwardly, we can still do a lot of religious activity. We can still meeting, go for Sunday meeting. We can do this and that. But spiritual death leads to spiritual hypocrisy. There's no real spiritual growth in us. Only our thing, for other people to see. Spiritual death leads to spiritual hypocrisy. Spiritual hypocrisy leads to spiritual death. One way to help us to find reading God's word interesting is to decide to change our mentality. The mentality is that changing the mentality from focusing, following our own self-centeredness in our daily life. Change this to seeking to apply God's word to our daily life as we read it. This is a determination to change the attitude toward God and His word. Do you want to have this change? I believe most of you sort of want. But do you really want? For some people, they want. But they might say, there are so many commandments in the Bible. How can I obey them? If I do so, I will be very, very tired and very, very discouraged. I am only an immature child of God. I don't have enough strength and faith to obey all the scriptures I read. This can be a real issue and struggle. On one hand, yes, no man can obey all the teaching in the Bible, no matter how mature he is. Because in this life on earth, we are not transformed completely yet to be like Christ. But we don't need to be discouraged because of that. If you're willing to learn to obey God through His word, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit knows that you really want to change or not. If you really want, the Holy Spirit can teach you. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to do everything the Bible said in one day. Just like a math teacher, good math teacher, he won't ask a grade 2 student to do HSC calculus, what Wanda did. Won't, no way, he won't. Or do uni math, such as functional analysis, won't. A teacher will give grade 2 lesson to a grade 2 student to learn grade 2 math. And then step by step, he will grow in math. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher and trainer. Just like what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. Let me read to you. John 16, verse 12 to 13. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus said, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit can guide us and teach us lesson by lesson, step by step. Guide us, train us to grow. Another part is John 14, verse 12. It said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Sometime in a life situation, the Holy Spirit causes us to remember a certain verse in the Bible we read in the morning to teach us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to cause us to obey or even rebuke us to cause us to repent, so that we are guided and led into the truth bit by bit. In this way, building yourself up in your most holy truth is a very interesting and exciting thing, because it is very engaging. Far more engaging than playing computer games. Because playing computer games, you are in a virtual reality. It's not real. Reading God's Word, building yourself up in your most holy truth, is a very engaging activity. Why far more engaging engaging than playing computer games? Not only because it's in real life, and also because it's in real life, it costs. Sometimes it costs a lot to submit. But if the submission is prompting, the prompting is from the Holy Spirit, that means you know that you are able to submit at your situation. The Holy Spirit will empower you, strengthen you to obey the prompting of this submission in this situation. The Holy Spirit is not asking you to obey all the commandments in one go, but the one the Lord wants you to learn, then you do it. Sometimes, when you do it, it requires the cost, requires you to pay a price. We require you to pay a price to seek help from someone. But if it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you have better to do it. Otherwise, your conscience will be numb. You'll be more immune to the Holy Spirit's prompting, and you'll be spiritually deaf, and you'll be more hypocrite and spiritual death. On one hand, Jude emphasized man's responsibility, saying building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Because here Jude said, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. But when we do it, we are not doing it by ourselves. It's not our own work. We do it with the guidance and training and the empowering by the Holy Spirit. And when we do it, not only by the Holy Spirit, but also the new life given to us, unless you haven't got the new life yet. If you have, we are able to obey God's word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How to contend for the faith? Yes, the Christian faith is a faith, is a truth revealed from the objective truth from the Word of God. The ungodly, they distort the truth in their teaching and their living, in their way of life, corrupting themselves, deceiving themselves, and corrupting, deceiving other people around them. When we contend for the faith, for the objective faith by defending and keeping through speaking and living out personally, experientially, that objective gospel truth in our life. This is how we contend. Through building ourselves up in His Word. This is one part. We can learn to contend for the faith. Through this, we keep ourselves in the love of God. And a very natural consequence, we contend the faith. Contend for the faith. Because of time, I need to stop here. So I can only share about the one supporting verb, the praying Holy Spirit and waiting for His mercy. I won't be able to do it today. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You and Your precious Word. Not only You, the author of Your own precious Word, Your inspired Word, only You can speak Your Word, not only to our ears, physical ears, but to our inner ears, our hearts. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak Your words in our hearts, so that we see the preciousness of Your Word, so that we have a desire to hear and obey, so that we can see more the wonder of Your grace and how good You are, and how privileged we can be Your bond servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.